What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Cyclocross Social Podcast. Today we're going to be discussing the 14th and final round of the Cyclocross World Cup, which took place in Hoogerheide. Crazy as some, it feels like yesterday that all of this started in Waterloo with the first World Cup, Thibaut Nys, who took the win. And, well, I mean, in a way, Thibaut Nys started the World Cup strong and he also finished it strong. Plenty to talk about as he brought the fight to Mathieu van der Poel today. Thank you for being here again.
Yes, thank you for having me. And indeed, it all comes to an end, I would say. And the World Cup also has to come to an end someday. And now it is the time. So it was an interesting race, to be honest.
Yeah, it was. It was a nice day out for me as well. This is the 9th World Cup I visited this season. I've not missed many. I missed Waterloo, Flamanville, Gavre. And I don't really know the other two. Oh, Maasmechelen and Dendermonde. Yeah. Those are the ones I missed. So, it's been busy. This is the final one, of course, Tabor next week. And then I'm finally getting some rest. I visited quite a bunch of races. But it's so much fun and gave me some very valuable insights, especially on the youth races earlier this morning. Just to disclose, I was there shooting media for USA Cycling Juniors and Ian Eckert for Team Canada. So, if you hear any bias, feel free to judge for yourself. But let's dive into the men elite race there. I was just watching that as a spectator. That was fairly nice. Laurens Veeck, just like last week in Benidorm, was at the front after the start. But just like last week in Benidorm, he faded. For the first part of the race, there was a very large leading group. It was at some point even 18 riders in lap 3. Was a lot going on. A couple of minor attacks. More crucially, just towards the halfway point of the race, Mathieu van der Poel launched his first big attack. He'd been sitting in the wheels, he'd let Ron Haar and Nieuwenhuis do a lot of the work, but then he thought it was time to go. Thibaut Nys followed him, and that was the sign for van der Poel to not continue. He cruised a little, let a couple of other riders come back, and he waited. We had like some 6-7-ish leaders there. I think most important names there were Elie Isebiet for Paul Sauzbingel, Mathieu van der Poel for Alpecin de Koninck, and then 4 Balwaze Trek Lions riders. Those were Pim Ronhaar, Joris Nieuwenhuis, Thibaut Nys and Lars van der Haar. Those were the most important names at the front of the race. Really, it was a waiting game. We were waiting for van der Poel to attack, and he did so on the penultimate lap. He attacked on the big climb towards the pits, where he last year also dropped a couple of bombs on Wout van Aert. Thibaut Nys was super strong and actually managed to stay within a few lengths, but as van der Poel continued his attack this time and the rest of the lap, going into the final lap in the section around the barriers, Thibaut Nys had to concede a little and see van der Poel go into the distance to take his 12th win of the season, doing a bloody gender reveal on the line. Talk about the confidence that you have to win if your uncle or it was his nephew, somebody asked him to do a gender reveal at the finish line because they were so confident he was going to win. Winning in style a bit different than usual. Second place went to a Boas Trek Lions rider, but it was not Nys. Nys crashed in the corner after the bridge and couldn't fully recover from that. So second place went to Joris Nieuwenhuis ahead of Pim Ronhaar, who just stayed ahead of Thibaut Nys. Important to note, didn't mention this in the summary, Michael van Tourenhout, one of the riders who's been surging the last couple of weeks ever since the Belgian Championships, was caught up in a crash at the start. At the first pit zone, he was put into the course tape, he was hit by another rider, was dead last, moved up back front, then there was a crash with Ryan Kamp on the barriers, and that put an end to his dream. So, leaving that for van Tourenhout, Issam, good ride by van der Poel. It's already, as I said, like, the level of confidence that somebody has, like, oh, he's going to win anyway. Just do a gender reveal for me, for my baby. Well, I'm sure he'll win. Like, it was good. He said he didn't feel fresh. What do you make of it? Do you think he wasn't fresh? He was just waiting, playing games, like, sandbagging a bit before Worlds? Because Thibaut Nys was fairly strong. He was able to stick with him. This is probably the closest we've seen somebody be to sticking with Van der Poel when he attacks.
I mean, it's almost like you're watching a movie and you're already, somebody spoiled already the end, but you still want to see the movie in a way. You kind of know where it's going. And as we have said already in Hamme, we have seen it so many times already this season, the way he rides, and when he decides to make an end of the peloton racing in a way, then he does that, and he does that in style. And I think for the other riders, it was basically a blessing in a way that he didn't really got himself involved. I think also the course doesn't really help you out with that. He teased them a little bit, but then, you know, probably either way thought that it was not really the moment at that time, and maybe the legs also were not at his super best in a way, and then you just try and wait it out penultimate lap. And I mean, I think Nice definitely for me was the one that surprised me a little bit, because just the way he was able to try and follow Van der Poel, and this is a bit the Nice that we have seen in the beginning of the season. You know, it was a really strong one, and even with his crash in the last lap, when he was able then to, you know, pick the guys that were there with Nieuwhuis, Ronaar, and then also Iserbeet, get in that group again, and still being able then to outsprint Iserbeet in the end. Iserbeet, who kind of gave up at that point because he knew that the podium was not going to be his. I think that for Nice, it was a really, really strong race, despite the fact that he was fourth and Ronaar and Nieuwhuis were in front of him. I think that for me, he was the one that definitely impressed me the most, because, you know, you have to, something has to go wrong in your mind to try and follow Van der Poel. Van Tournau did it in Hamme, and Nijs did it in Hogerheide, and I think he did it with style, and he really tried to, and it was great to see, to be honest.
Something goes wrong if you try to follow Van der Poel and win the race. Let that one sink in. Van der Poel, I mean, in all seriousness, I don't really believe any of the comments he said after the race should be taken seriously at all, like lack of freshness and this or that. I think he's just trying to conserve as much energy as possible. He's taking in the training, he's doing whatever he can to win worlds whilst preparing his road season as best as possible. And sure, maybe he's not feeling the freshest today, but I don't think that he will struggle, or that he struggled today, to get this race over the line. He looked fresh, he looked in control, and it looked good, so I don't think we should put too much value into this. I mean, how many times have we seen weird stuff happen in the 1-2 weeks before Worlds? Sometimes it's an indication, sometimes it isn't, and I would say those things are 50-50. It's super hard to judge what's going on, but this course, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think, in fact, there should be more courses with as few corners as in Hogerheide, because 180-degree corners, sharp corners, don't really add anything to the course. Technically, you don't really make a difference there. It just kills group racing, and it's fun to see groups like this today. But just like in Benidorm, it's hard to make a difference, and I think Van der Poel is doing well. There's one place where he can make the difference, and that's where he tried to, and that's that big climb towards the pits, the second pit zone. That's where he can make the difference, and he did well doing so. I thought that Nijs also rode well. You've said some interesting things about his form. What I like to see and I think it's pretty special quality to have, Nijs based his entire race off Van der Poel. He was never at the front of the race, Nijs. You saw Ronhaar and Nieuwenhuis and Van der Haar, they all got like carried away or decided that this was the moment for them to like start pacing. But Nijs, no. Not Nijs. Nijs was in fourth, in third, good positioning, following Van der Poel for a long part of the race, a very large part of the race. He was in the wheel of Van der Poel, waiting for him to attack. And both times Van der Poel attacked, Nijs was right in the wheel to react. And it's, I think, interesting to see him based his race strategy so much upon one rider, but with the level of Van der Poel that's deserved, and it's a smart tactic. It's just unfortunate that he then crashes, which is a pretty silly crash there. It's not really a place where it's easy to make a mistake. Haven't seen many crashes there all day. And then that cost him a podium spot, but Nijs will definitely be going towards Worlds next week with a good feeling off of that. And I wonder how you think about this, Issam, because to me this situation reminded me a bit of what we saw ahead of the Europeans, an armada of Bauaza Trek Lions riders, because Nijs isn't the only one that was good here. Ronhaar was good today, Nieuwhuis was good today, Van der Haar looked alright, didn't have a great final lap, but was up there. Kind of reminded me a bit of what we saw towards the European Championships, but then at the European Championships they looked to peak just slightly too early, because on the day itself, they weren't that good. Of course, there were their factors, the crashes and stuff, but it reminded me a bit of that period of the season with so many of them at the front.
Yeah, definitely. It was kind of a a repeat of what we have seen. And on Nice and his the last lap, in a way, I think that there the steam was getting out of his head crazy, and I think that he was, you know, that was pure a crash based on fatigue and not on technique or anything, because that corner is, it's normally an easy corner to get through, but I think that it was just so much for him to try and close that gap. And I think, you know, he based his race on Van der Poel and did that very well, but that last attack of Van der Poel, he was not in his wheel, and he paid the price for it, because I think that if he was in his wheel, it was going to be a little bit more, you know, it's going to be a little easier to stay in your wheel. And also for Van der Poel, he will think twice about the effort that he is going to do. Not that he is afraid of Nice or anything, but it just works mentally a little bit different if someone is already in your wheel. But when you have a gap, it always kind of motivates you more to just keep going. And I think that kind of happened there. But I think for Baloise Trek, it's a great moment now to be in very good form. And I think that the perspective is a little different compared to the European Championships, because there was no Van der Poel. And maybe you had a little bit of, you know, just trying to save a little bit more and stuff. And I think now, I don't think that Izerbeet really did that. He tried to go for the podium. Really, his intention was to get the podium and just didn't have enough. Van Turenhout, unfortunately, wasn't able with his first lap to get to the front. And then for him, it was also kind of race over. And then you know, with the back of the head, you already think about Tabor and what you can do there and save as much as you can and try to, you know, approach it as a training ride, as you should be doing, because you would be wasting energy trying to get back to the front again. But it seems that the Trek Lions guys have, you know, they have prepared themselves very well. It looks very good, and it is a good timing to be in a very good form and have the confidence towards Tabor. So hopefully they can get a little bit more out of it than they got out of the European Championships. And I think that that is definitely within the possibilities.
It's very hard to, like, judge everything this weekend, and especially on the women's side, it will be a bit harder. But this pre-World Championships weirdness is a phenomenon we see every single year. Like, every year there's riders overperforming in the 1-2 weeks before, and there's riders underperforming in the 1-2 weeks before. Sometimes it's an indication, and I would say in 50% of the time it isn't an indication. And the other 50%, we're here looking at everything, and then at Worlds they just turn everything around and they've timed their peak perfectly. It's tricky to judge it, but I do agree that if you're good this weekend, you should theoretically also be good next weekend, unless you collectively peak too early, which is possible, but I would hope that that doesn't happen. I've seen positive things, as I said, about the race tactic of Nice. I think Van der Poel was adding to that pre-World Championships weirdness, but if we look through that, I've seen, like, the acceleration is there. Van der Poel is good. Nice looks good. Izerbeet today looked a little bit flat, didn't look great. He looked stronger in Benidorm, where he had like 12 bike changes or some crazy amount. Now it was 4, but yeah, that was Izerbeet. Looked a bit flat today, just never really was in there. He was like at the front, but he never really got in the mix. But it was all right. Like, it's something he can build upon. Van Turenhout, as I said, had the issues. He looked fairly good when he was moving through the field, but not a full 60-minute effort. Volnar and Nieuwenhuis looked pretty good, and Isam, I think, if I analyze their race a little bit further, Nieuwenhuis and Ronnar both did like a bunch of work in the first part of the race, then were off the back, and then as Van der Poel dropped the pace again, they came back to the front, recovered a bit, and then in the final lap launched themselves. And I think that also tells you something about the course this is. It's a wide course. As said, it's pretty featureless. You can recover a bit in the groups. Like, they recovered in the middle of the race and then were able to push something out in the final lap, and I really like these type of courses because it makes for pretty good racing, and it will be a wide open battle on a similar course to this at Worlds. So I think in a way this is also a pretty good, like, indication. Of course the form is a bit difficult, but this is a good indication. Next week in Tabor it won't be too much different from this. There'll be a few more features, but it won't be too different
normally, because I think that, I don't know if it, yeah, it was last week most likely that we looked at the weather predictions for Hogerheide, and when we looked at that we thought it was going to be quite a muddy course, it turned out to be completely dry in a way. So if the weather forecast is not wrong, then it would probably be a course similar to this one. We have seen it. And then it was a very good test today. The legs know what they can expect on next Sunday for the men. You have to try and go for it and get the best out of it. And the thing with that is you cannot always expect that how today went is also how Sunday is going to be. There are multiple factors that play a role. And in the end, you also have the mechanicals that can play a role in something like that. And the tactics also can play a role in a way when you leave a gap when you shouldn't be doing, and then you have to chase and everything. So I think that, you know, in the end, for these guys, it's just a matter of trying to get the positives out of this week and the race itself, and try to believe in everything that you have done beforehand and see what you can do in Tabor. And I think that is for all the guys. I mean, it's also for Iserbeet and also for Van Turnhout and all the guys that also finished behind them. Just a matter of trying to get some confidence out of it, even if it's just a little. Try to go to Tabor with the best legs, the best form, and the best conditions, and then you will see what will happen. It's going to be quite interesting, I would say.
Being so close to Worlds, this is naturally like a mini Worlds preview. The full Worlds preview will come later this week, but yeah, I think like the battle for second, because I'm still assuming Van der Poel will win the title, is going to be pretty wide open next week. There's going to be the four Balwas Trek Lions there. There's going to be Iserbeet. There's going to be Van der Haar. And depending on the conditions, there will be a couple of other riders. We can find a couple of them in the top 10. Van der Poel ahead of Nieuwhuis and Ronhaar, a full Dutch podium, which I'll save that stat for the preview, or I'll just repeat it there. It would be the first time in a very long time that the Belgians don't have a rider on the podium if this happens at Worlds, which I don't think. Nijs was fourth ahead of Iserbeet and Vizeure, strong final lap by him. Van Haar faded a bit in the final lap and ended seventh. The final places in the top 10 went to Venturini, Orts and Ruek. It's about these riders. Sure, Van der Putte had some issues, Van Turnhout had some issues and were out of the top 10. But it's still nice to see Venturini, Orts and Ruek in the top 10. I saw a stat on Twitter by Cyclocross24 that this was the first time since Zolder 2014, I think, from the top of my head, or 13 maybe, that there were only three Belgians in the top 10 of a World Cup. That's a long time ago. Don't really want to go too far in on that, but it's good to see. Venturini, we discussed him last week. Course is good for him. Could be on for a third top 10 at Worlds in a row. Orts continues the trend of last week when he was also good in Benidorm on a fast course. Let's hope he gets things together at Worlds. But Ruek in 10th is also a good sign for him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we talked about Venturini, I think, 2 weeks ago or something, and I think he said something along the lines of he still hasn't shown really if it is within his possibilities to get a top 10. I think today was definitely a result that got me over the line in thinking that it is possible for him to get a top 10. I think it looked quite good today. For Ruek also, it was a strong race from his side as well. And Orts, yeah, was also not terrible. So I think that those three guys definitely could get themselves within the top 10. And it depends also how the race goes, if there is going to be some sacrifices in the Belgian team and in the Dutch team as well, trying to play the tactics in a way. You never know how that will play out. Then there is always a chance for those guys to get themselves in a top 10, because they can only focus on themselves, and their goal is to get themselves within the top 10. And it's always a bit easier to race for that than to race for a podium or a top 5, because then, yeah, you have to react on a little more attacks and all that, and it just brings a little bit more out of a rider compared to a top 10, and you can focus a little bit more on that. So I think for all three it was a very good race, and definitely those three you can take with you in terms of a chance to get themselves in the top 10. And yeah, I think it was a good test to see those riders on a course like this, and I think that is definitely something that you can take with you towards Tabor. But again, as you said, there is the side note, there is the whole, what did they do last week? What did the others do last week? And how is their form going to be next week? So, but for now, definitely it is. It looks very good for those guys in terms of a top 10. It will be interesting to see what they can do.
Yeah, it would be nice to see a couple of other flags in the top 10. Outside of the top 10, I would also like to mention Michał Burgos. 12th place is also a good result for him. Erik Brunner was actually having a pretty nice race. He was in the top 15 and then he crashed and then couldn't get it together anymore. It was pretty eventful, quite a lot going on behind the front group. Couple of riders who didn't perform. Again, Kevin Kuhn, 23rd, not a good day. Cameron Mason, just like last week, a horrible day. He was 28th. He was behind Zdeněk Štybar, who raced his final World Cup. Štybar came in 27th. So, yeah, it's not really looking great for Mason and Kuhn at the moment, but it's part of the career, and we'll hope that they can turn things around and be back stronger next year. Let's go and talk about the women's race then. There, Sami already mentioned like a bit of a metaphor of it's a movie that's already been spoiled, and I felt like it was less of the case in the women's race, but it was like more of a movie with a predictable ending. We had a relatively large leading group for the first part of the race, although I don't know if it really was a leading group. When I was there, it looked like, oh, there's two leaders, oh, there's seven, oh, there's two again, oh, there's three now. It was really hard to keep track of what was going on. But what was clear was that Van Empel, Pieterse, and Brandt were at the front of the race for most of the first part of that race. Alvarado was there, but then faded. Then she also had an issue with her chain, and that meant that the race was over for her. She would finish 15th. Fluctuating at the front of the race were Mairi Schreiber, Katablanka Vash for SD Works, and Zoe Backstedt for Canyon SRAM. They were on and off the back of that group. Pieterse was comfortably in that group for most of the time, but with two laps to go, Pieterse faded. Pieterse had been sick and therefore couldn't keep up at the front of the race. That led us with two leaders, Van Empel and Brandt. But Vash, who was coming from the group behind with Backstedt, was eager to close that gap. Just before the final lap, Vash managed to close the gap. Brandt had placed an attack in that penultimate lap, but then crashed in one of the corners in front of the VIP tent, which also held up Van Empel. With Vash back, three leaders went into the final lap. It was not really a thrilling duel. Van Empel was in the lead. Brandt tried to place one longer attack. It didn't work. Van Empel tried to attack on the big hill towards the climb. She opened a small gap, but that didn't work. It was the climb towards pit 2, just to clarify. So it would all be decided in the section around the barriers. There were no hoppers. They went over the barriers in the order. Brandt, Van Empel, Vash. Vash looked to be in the worst position in third, but just before the downhill, she bombed it. She took the front position ahead of Brandt and Van Empel. All of a sudden, Van Empel went from what arguably was the perfect position, second wheel for her with her explosiveness, to the worst position, third. Not enough time to overtake. But that period only lasted for 10 seconds, because on the stairs, Vash couldn't keep up with the pace of Brandt and Van Empel from behind. Van Empel squeezed through the tiniest of gaps on the right, overtook Brandt on the remount and Vash on the acceleration, took the lead ahead of Vash, took the final corner, sprinted to victory ahead of Vash and Brandt. Pretty eventful final lap. It's maybe the predictable outcome that Van Empel does it, but two things. First of all, Lucinda Brandt being done like this in the final part of a final lap, not often we see that. And two, Van Empel, just like last week, at like the latest of opportunities, she somehow gets it done. And this seemed a bit more like miraculous than last week. Last week was just a relatively predictable overtake. But this, I didn't really expect that to be turned around. Like for 10 seconds I was convinced, okay, it's going to be for Vash or Brandt today. It's not going to be for Van Empel, but somehow she managed to squeeze through on the stairs.
Yeah, I mean, when they entered the last lap, I thought, well, okay, this, I don't know how it's going to happen, but Van Empel somewhere is going to, you know, get in front and take victory. But then Vash was in front going to the stairs, and I thought, well, it's going to be very difficult for Van Empel to get past in a way. And then I've probably seen one of the slowest passages on television by Vash going up the stairs in a way. And Brandt was there, thereabout. And as you said, Brandt normally in the last lap is you know, some would consider it not nice, others would say that it is in some ways brave and definitely very smart and doesn't really, you know, gets always in the right positions at the right time. And now that wasn't really the case, or at least somewhat. And Van Empel was definitely, in my opinion, there at that point, I thought she threw the victory away. But then that, you know, the way she went on the stairs was kind of insane in a way, especially if you're on the last lap. The legs are getting fuller and fuller, you know, and for her it didn't play any role. She got the lead, and then from there on, obviously, it was kind of over for the others to, you know, to still play a role and try to go for victory. And I think that for Van Empel, we saw a very strong Van Empel, but we also saw a very strong Brandt in a way, and that was something that we haven't seen in Hamme. And luckily we saw it right now, because I think it was, for me, I wasn't really sure if Brandt was going to be able to reach the level that she reached today in Hogerheide. I think that I had my doubts, to put it that way. I think you don't really have your, you didn't really have your doubts on Brandt and her form, but I was a bit, I was in doubt on that. So I didn't really know what to expect. And I think it was a confirmation now that Brandt is, it is all good. The form is kind of there, and she is going to be able to somewhat challenge Van Empel on a course like this if it's fast. And that is good to see. And, you know, Vash for me was, I think, the surprise. And I think you said it very well. I don't know exactly what you said, but you said something along the line of she was there, but she wasn't really there. And I think that was kind of the case. And in the end, I think for Vash, if I was her, I would really be thinking about, you know, every week in the summer, I will try to get, you know, every stair that I will see, I will just run it up, because I have to get better at that. Because that was, in my opinion, that's a bit too slow, I would say.
Well, I find it hard to judge if she was just so slow or if the others were so fast, because I watched like quite a bit at the stairs during the race, and it didn't look that bad for most of it. Like, maybe she was just done in the final lap. Like, she'd done most of the work compared to the rest. She was not well off the start line. She moved up from like 14th, spent like a lot of time chasing. At some point, it looked like she was going to bridge, but then on the, like, where they cut across on the uphill just before the climb towards pit 2, like, she got stuck there on the inside, needed to pull herself up on the pole, lost a significant chunk of time there. Like, it's also just possible that she's flat. Like, she was there in the front, but what I mean with the comment that I made, like, after the race in my voice memo to you, that she was there but she wasn't there, is for almost the entire part of the race, or of that final lap, she didn't make a move. She was just sitting back. She was not really committing to anything. And I think that, in a way, her move just before that downhill is genius. You want to be as late as possible with making your move, but before the others, because if you wait that long, like, there's literally only one place where she could have been passed, and she got passed there. The move itself there was, like, pretty genius. Like so late, so audacious, like, it takes guts to wait for that long. But Vash also isn't experienced in these situations. Vash has not been, like, racing at the front of these elite races that much, even though, like, her career is so weird. She came here when she was 16, lived in like some container apartment behind Mettepenningen, like fully committed to the sport, raced there for the Galland Dossienti team, was helped by Mettepenningen, and then moved on to bigger things through Proximus and then SD Works. I always struggle to even like keep track of how old she is. I knew that she became U23 world champion on the road, so this is her first full season as an elite because she made the switch earlier. She had those U23 podiums in Dubendorf and Ostend, and then she switched to the elites, and then competed there in the, like, had that great year when she was fighting for the European title, when she did well in Tokyo Olympics and everything, and she knows how to peak. She does. We've seen that before. Then she had, like, a year and a half, 2 years where things just didn't go well, and it feels like she's 28 because of how long she's been around, but she's not. And therefore, it's easy to overlook the fact that, okay, she's won a World Cup that was an Overijse that didn't require any technical game. This is the first time that Vash is in a situation on a fast course like this, fighting for the win is some. Like, it wasn't perfect, and like that on the stairs, I don't know, it was just flat or tired or whatever. or like the rest of the tactics in the final lap, but it's also the first time she's really exposed to a situation like this. She's up against Brandt, who's like the master of this stuff, and then Van Empel, who's by now like learning to master this stuff. Like the stuff that happened in Beekse Bergen last year, where Van Empel just lets Van Anrooy go, that's not going to happen to her anymore. Van Empel was becoming, I wouldn't really say a stone-cold killer, but she is like clutching these wins together. Like Brandt was trying to squeeze Van Empel on those stairs and closing that door, but Van Empel was having none of it. She just went through that small gap anyway. And it's a clutch win for the second week in a row, and Van Empel is becoming fairly good at that. So it didn't really look like the Van Empel of the rest of the season in terms of how dominant she was, but again, same factors at the men's race. I don't know. I don't want to be too harsh on Vash because it's the first time she's in this situation.
I'm not being harsh. It was, you know, it was just, if you look, maybe I saw it wrong. It could be, but I for me, it felt like that was definitely not the greatest of passages on the stairs. And to be honest, that move before the stairs was great. It was, I think it was a, that was a great move to pull off, and it was perfectly timed as well. And she never really tried anything in that last lap up until that point. So it was, you know, she really took her time there. And I think that definitely didn't have the ideal race to get that to the front, but had a very good day. And that really helped her, I would say, to eventually get to both Brandt and Van Empel and even be in the mix. So I think for sure, hell of respect and a very good ride, and definitely a ride where I would say that is something that you can take with you towards next week. It was just the stairs overall. It, for me, it really felt a bit slow, and we have seen Vash struggle a little bit with the running overall. And I think there, if you see, I saw some footage of after the race also, and it, I think it was also just the legs getting really full and just being completely tired. Well, this, then it's going to be more and more difficult to get yourself up the stairs. So I think overall for her side, it was a close to perfect race. And in the end, Van Empel, if you see how that sprint was in the end, that was quite impressive. So I think that Van Empel, for me, what she showed in Hoogerheide is she's ready. She's ready to take the world title. The form is there. And now it's just a question of doing it. And, you know, we have to wait and see. There are some competitors, though, that have some question marks, I would say.
Yeah, most certainly. And I don't disagree that Vash should keep working on her running. We know work is being done there, and she should keep working on it. Like, I agree with that. I just don't want to be overly harsh today because the stairs didn't go well, because I think, like, overall the trajectory is good for her. She's doing well. Things are on the up for her. And as you say, we can't say the same for everyone. I don't think we should really discuss it all too long. Pieterse has been sick, faded in the final two laps. Alvarado with the back issues, which played up again. The chain issue dropped to 15th. I don't know, for these riders, it's some, like, I wouldn't worry too much. Of course, for Alvarado, it seems to be a bit more of a lingering thing. For Pieterse, not a great moment to be sick, but there's still time to turn it around. And, like, she looked good for four laps. Like, it might come and bite her next week that she's been sick or whatever, but on the other hand, you also don't know. I don't want to accuse them of making stuff up, but Klaas van Thornhout has really made it hard for me to trust people in the weeks before Worlds. So, yeah, what's up with the Klaas van Thornhout thing? He always made up an excuse and then he was there at Worlds, or he just would, like, test himself for a few laps. Like, I don't want to accuse Alvarado of testing for two laps and then, like, playing a back injury card or giving up after her chain drops, or Pieterse testing herself for four laps and then giving up. I don't think Pieterse is the type of rider for that, and she's been sick, so I just hope for both that they can turn it around, but they will travel there with some more question marks, whereas Vash can take some positive momentum from the final races. She's been good in the Christmas period in a couple of races. She's been good in Benidorm, and she's been good now, and she can take that with her. Brandt, I think the same goes for her. I mean, you already said it, after Hama, you had a couple of doubts. I thought it would be fine, and today it looked fine. I don't know if it will continue like that or what Van Empel was up to today, but Brandt looked good. She did well. She was in there, but then, again, it didn't really seem like she expected Vash to really feature like that at the final part, but we will see next week. As some, it should be an interesting battle, and the U23 battle should also be interesting, because today in 4th and 5th place, Backstedt and Schreiber both were in there in the mix at the front. Backstedt eventually overtook Schreiber in the final lap. Zemanova was 9th, Isabella Holmgren 10th, Benfeldt 11th, Eva Holmgren 12th. A bunch of competitive U23s, and that should also be a very good race next week, because it doesn't look like a walkover for Backstedt, although both she and Schreiber looked pretty good today.
Yeah, I would still say that Backstedt normally would have the edge, but that is definitely going to be a very interesting race, and Schreiber is not going to make it easy for her, and definitely going to try and make a fight. You know, for Bentveld, wasn't really the best of races in Hoogerheide, but I definitely think that, you know, form didn't disappear there in a way, and it should be okay, and she will be able to challenge for the podium at least. But yeah, that category is definitely going to be interesting, and, you know, for Backstedt, I thought for a moment that it wasn't going to be the greatest of races, and somehow found herself, you know, continued with the lap times in a way, and was able then in the last couple of laps to really get it going, overtake Schreiber, who was ahead of her. And I think that shows that the form is definitely good with, you know, how Backstedt has been racing, and normally should be the main favorite for a world title. But it's going to be interesting, and it's definitely going to be a difficult one, but it's interesting, and it's great to see that there is a fight going on for that title for sure. And yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, Backstedt, as you say, didn't really look like going all too well. Like, she was fading a bit of that group, but then settled into a pace. I think she needed a bit of time to really settle into it. She came home from training camp pretty late, did quite a bit of volume training leading towards Worlds next week. So it will be interesting how that road camp will pay out for her next week. And I mean, they were pretty far ahead, she and Schreiber. Schreiber, who faded a bit in the final lap after doing quite some work, maybe for Vash, maybe just for herself. But yeah, it should be interesting, and just read the entire top 10. Van Empel, Vash, Brandt, Backstedt, Schreiber, Verdonschot, Kant, Pieterse, Zemanova, and Holmgren. I think decent rides, more than decent rides by Verdonschot and Kant, 6th and 7th in this level of World Cup is really, really, really good for both of them. I mean, scrap the U23s and they could be fighting for 4 and 5 next week at the World Championships. Of course, Pieterse, Alvarado, etc., etc., but for them, if they can be like 6th and 7th next week at Worlds, it would be a really good result for them, and way better than what Belgium's women's cyclocross is reflected at the moment. I do also still want to talk on Isabella Holmgren some, and I think I'll take this one for me, because you said you didn't see any of this on the broadcast, but Isabella Holmgren was pretty far down after the start. I think at some point she was like 28th, and she just kept moving up, moving up, moving up. She overtook her sister Eva at some point, and then in the final lap she even overtook Benfeld and claimed 10th. Benfeld did win the U23 World Cup, but it's interesting to see them in the mix. This is not really a good course for Isabella Holmgren. She had that illness over the Christmas period, but she did super well, and she and her sister Eva, who came in 12th, are getting really good results as first-year U23s.
Yeah, definitely, and as you pointed out, I definitely think that with the circumstances, it wasn't a course that normally would suit them all too well, but they, yeah, found a good rhythm and found themselves going very well. I mean, with the broadcast, it was the main focus was on the women in front, and also with the men's, it was almost the same thing. We saw a little bit, and also the finish of Isabella Holmgren, and also Ava, we saw her a little bit in certain flashes during the broadcast, but it definitely wasn't well covered in a way. So if you didn't have any live timing or something, then it was basically you didn't even pick anything up on that up until the finish, I would say. But yeah, for them it definitely looks very good, and you know, they have, after the cyclocross season, they definitely have their other goals, and they will try and develop, and for them it's basically trying to get the best progression possible and get the most out of the new team that they're with and the partnership with Trek. And that is for them going to be very important, and they just need to be patient. The time will help them out, and they will eventually grow up on to great riders. So it's just basically patience what is the deal there. And it's interesting to see that also on these type of courses they're able to hold their own in a way. So, you know, the growth is there and it will eventually, it will showcase itself for sure. And it already has, but it will be even better than it is already. So that's, you know, it's great to see.
Yeah, it was lovely to see. And I would still like to mention Zemanova. Yesterday in Halma it was no good for her, but today ninth is a good recovery. And yeah, it's good. If we like look a bit further down in the results, we saw a couple of riders who've not been having good seasons. Vorsten 13, Betsema 16, Bakker having an inconsistent season or second half of the season, ending 17th. Van der Heide in 19th. It's not great for them. Van Alphen in 23rd. A couple of riders are seriously struggling, and it also shows how deep the women's field go. Like Clara Honsinger 26th. Like everything until there are like pretty good riders. Hélène Clausel, the French champion, is in there. It's like going pretty deep. So it will be interesting. Issam, I thank you for your time. We're going to leave it with this and come back next week when we're going to talk about the World Championships in a preview podcast.
Lots to talk about, I would say. So yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'll be sharing a couple of news reports from Hoogerheide on the youth races in that preview show where we'll preview all the categories. Thanks everyone for listening. Catch you guys for the preview podcast. See you guys then. Goodbye.